Good morning and welcome to Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and this is Monday, November 24th, the start of a fabulous holiday week nationally. And in many communities, folks are already starting to do some travel. And that travel can be quite daunting, especially here in Tucson. We've got a lot of construction going on all over the streets and people coming and going. People are getting used to flights and all of that going on. So I'm just going to ask everybody to have some patience and remember that people are probably just trying to get to see their loved ones. And let's take care of each other this week. I'm so excited to have some fabulous guests again this week. Like every week, we have such interesting conversations going on here at Rainmakers as part of the Morning Voice Positive Talk Radio here at KVOI The Voice. And this morning, we're kicking it off with Adriana Gallego, who is CEO of Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona. She has been in that role for many, many years, is a Wildcat, certainly earning her degree from the U of A, magna cum laude, as I understand. So not at all faint of heart in her studies, nor in her activism and engagement with community. Adriana, welcome to Rainmakers.
Good morning, Lydia. Thank you so much for having me in the Arts Foundation here today. It's such a beautiful way to start the week.
Well, I appreciate you coming in, and I know that shortly we are going to be joined also by your communications director, Gia Del Pino, is going to be joining us as well, and I think she actually might have arrived, so we'll have her get her headset on soon and join us. With that, Adriana, I am thrilled to have you here. I know we've been speaking for a while about getting together in this manner. The Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona does fabulous work, not only for artists, but for community. You have led so many initiatives that actually bring the artists in to opportunities and to engagements that actually let them also interact with each other. So it's not such a solitary individual experience, studio to studio or artist to artist, but you've got all these connections going on. One of them was just the Open Studio Tour about a week and a half ago. I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about that this morning. What do you think?
I love that idea. Coming away from that experience was so inspirational, and I'd love to chat more about that.
Great. Wonderful. And, you know, I am going to share with our listeners and our viewers this morning that the Open Studio Tour took place not this past weekend, but the one before. And it was over 2 or 3 days where folks could really go to studios all over town. Many different types of artists were there, and the studios were open for people to come and go. First of all, most of the studios are almost always open at their various operating hours for people to come and go as they please and get familiar. But this was an extra special opportunity, perhaps, for folks to go kind of all in one day, pick and choose a whole route, and just wander in and out, meet some artists themselves, see the works, have a few snacks or beverages. Many of the studios were very kind in that way. Or there were special displays and people on hand to talk about their art and talk about classes and other resources. That's what I found most fascinating. And it was everything from painters to sculptors, clay work, ceramics, photography. And we ended with this great gathering of another group that was putting together one of their first art markets. So what was your inspiration for doing that?
Well, Open Studio Tours is the longest and largest running open studio tours in Southern Arizona, and perhaps even in Arizona. It predates my administration, and I would say it's decades old. I even had an opportunity to participate in Open Studio Tours when I was making my mark during my formative years as an artist. I had a little studio on Mayor Street, and we would open up for Open Studio Tours back in the 90s, which was so much fun. So this is an opportunity for artists to invite the public into their working space so that the public can see where the magic happens. And normally one thinks about open studio tours as an opportunity to go visit two or three dimensional artists, visual mm-hmm. artists, mm-hmm. and something that my team in the grants and programs department and David Gagiola specifically was really excited to open up the opportunity for multiple disciplines to participate. So that if you have a garage band and you wanted to let people see your behind the scenes studio, or if you have, if you wanted to do a choreography in your studio and share it with folks who are touring around town, that those opportunities were open to you. Because at the Arts Foundation, we really believe that every creative artistic discipline mm-hmm. Merits support and resources and audiences to support their work.
Wonderful. I love that you're so inclusive that way, and really you and your team and the foundation itself have really been attentive to those many different types of art disciplines, and really being inclusive and not limiting it to just one type or another.
Oh, definitely. That's a really important part of the work that we do. We want to make sure that everybody sees themselves in the work of the Arts Foundation and the resources that we're able to provide communities. I'm so happy that we were able to tour the studios together last week. There were mm-hmm. over 200 studios open, and more than 200 artists participating.
Wow.
So as you can imagine, there was a lot of hustle and bustle all around town. So many studios to choose from. And this year we were able to count on a new app that allowed visitors to actually look at all the 200 artists and studios that were participating and just select their favorites and automatically map out a route. Like, you didn't even have to think about it. You just visually pick the folks that you're, the artwork that you're most drawn to, and the GPS mapping on that app just tells
just
you where
to go.
Just
laid it all out for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And here's the best route.
So much fun, yes.
How to go from one to the other. I found it really fascinating and actually very relaxing to be able to join you, and we had another colleague. Several people were out, but our little group was just yourself, me, and our wonderful friend Colleen Ilucci, who's the regional director here for Arizona Community Foundation, and she's southeastern Arizona. And it was so much fun to join up with you in that way. It was very relaxing, no rush. We just hit studio after studio. It was so much fun to be able to spend some time with the artists themselves, who were very welcoming, sometimes in the middle of some of their artwork or other tours, and they would take the time to speak with us, tell us the inspiration for their creations, or some new did you know kind of information and opportunities. They were telling us about classes, telling us expansions. Some of them have been recipients of grants from your organization or other support that have helped them also in the business of doing art. And that's what was really interesting to me as well, where all of these resources came together.
It's so true. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. The following day, I visited Galeria Mitotera, who was hosting mm-hmm. a bunch of different artists. And it was really wonderful to see the scope of artists that were participating, mm-hmm. some who had been aware and worked with the Arts Foundation before and been recipients of resources, and others that were new to the Arts Foundation and would want to benefit from some of the professional development opportunities that we have.
Sure.
And it was so moving to hear one of the artists, Senorina, was selling artwork that was printed on a couple of merchandise and had really, you know, bold, powerful statements. And she was sharing with us that she had been a recipient of a START grant from the Arts Foundation many years ago that actually helped her buy the printing press that is allowing her to make a living as an artist. as well.
That shows the impact that sometimes those connections and finding out the information, you don't know what you don't know. And so being able to have, not just on the tour, but that also highlights the history and the journey that some of these artists have come through, not only in their own development of their skills or their expansion of their networks, but really in that business savvy. There's always a business side to art. Well, not always. I shouldn't say that. In many cases, especially if someone has a gallery or a studio or like you said, a garage or at-home studio, if they're trying to display, even if they're not selling their art, but they're wanting to be known and connected, there is a little bit of a business process to that. And so having resources available in grant form or in, like you said, professional development to help people up their skills, whatever that needs. Maybe find a mentor who's in the same genre of art that they are. All of those things can help. Or if somebody's new to our community and this is in Tucson or Southern Arizona is where they want to make their home as an artist, there are a lot of different pathways and networks of people who have come before them who can be helpful.
That is a really good point, definitely. One of the beautiful aspects of being able to be back home here in Tucson and in Southern Arizona is seeing the way that artists come together to support each other and mm-hmm. our communities. We're definitely not a community that works in silos. It is definitely based on a mutual respect and a mutual aid to be able to uplift each other, and that's just something that I think that's very unique to Tucson.
Well, with that, we are already at our first commercial break, believe it or not. So folks, stay tuned. We have more with Adriana Gallego and the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona right after this brief break. And we're coming back in after our first commercial break. This is Monday, November 24th, and we were just listening to the sounds of the Average White Band, a little Cut the Cake. And good morning, Matt Neely. I forgot to
good
kick
morning.
It off with our usual interaction. Already we are at the late November. We're going into Thanksgiving week, a holiday week. We are in the middle still of Native American Heritage Month, and it feels like we were just starting with the fall. Those hot temperatures stayed for so long. We were lucky to keep some rain going. It got dry for a while, but boy, did we get that rain the last few days.
We're in an interesting weather pattern right now, and there's more rain coming next weekend, by the way, they're saying, like Saturday night, Sunday.
That's what they're saying. They're letting people have some sunny Thanksgiving. So.
Sunny, well, partly cloudy, but, you know.
Non-rain.
That also means probably mostly sunny.
Yeah.
And 77 degrees, so it'll be a beautiful day.
You know, we get to tell our friends and loved ones who are in colder or wetter weather, this is why we're in Southern Arizona, right?
So that's right.
We love it. Usually we talk about whatever national week it is or national day it is, and I found out that today is National Sardines Day. So anybody out there listening or watching who loves to indulge in their sardines, today is your extra special day to do so. I'm not really sure of the history of that. And I'm not exactly a sardine fan myself, but I know many, many people are. And actually last week we missed, it wasn't on Monday, it was on, I think, Thursday. We missed National Absurdity Day, and that just, exactly.
There's only one day?
Yeah, I was going to say, we're sort of having a whole year of it,
yeah.
And with everything going on in the world and sometimes things feeling topsy-turvy, I thought that was pretty appropriate, but at the same time, just worth the laugh, so... So there you go, Matt. You can start thinking of your favorite sardine snack.
Well, the only
meal.
Time I think of sardines is when I'm on an airplane anymore. So that's
well. There you go. Smushed in
the
can,
yeah,
the way you pack them. That's right. That's right. Well, I hope folks have been enjoying the wetter weather that we've been having. And here at Rainmakers, we always make a little joke about that we're trying to help make it rain. But we're trying to help make it rain in the sense of how do we help Southern Arizona families, businesses, artists, students, and the community at large thrive. And that's why we bring in the special featured guests that we have. And this morning, you are definitely among them, Adriana Gallego. And we also have Gia Del Pino, who is communications director. So we have CEO, communications director of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona. Ladies, again, my heartiest welcome for joining us here on Rainmakers. Gia, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Nice to have you both here. And at the beginning of the show, we were speaking a lot about the Open Studio Tours and how that helps to link in our local artists and studio owners and art teachers that may be part of these studios or businesses and the artisans themselves who are wanting to open up their doors on a full weekend. It was a 3-day weekend of lots of traffic coming and going, and I think it was mentioned over 200 studios participated, home studios, warehouse studios, smaller studios, and I love the fact that even musicians were welcome, and I'm going to guess with musicians sometimes come singers. So lots of different artists. Did we have any dancers that performed, or anyone who might have had a dance art type studio, something that was in the movement action area? Tell me about that. That's exciting. I don't think I toured one of those.
Yes, I think we had a few performers, including dancers. I also did not tour those studios, but it goes to show how vibrant our local artistic community and what it has to offer.
And one of the things that, and I'm going to have to put that on my list for next time because I love watching live performance, and that would have been fantastic. Here in our own studio, we try to do what we can with some upbeat music and we move around. It's a good way to kick off a week in a Monday morning where sometimes people are a little grumbly getting off to the start of their work week. We try to be upbeat and actionable with that and really showing. But one of the reason I'm saying all of that, that is one thing that really stuck out to me that you were doing, Adriana, is at every stop, not only were you listening and kind of drawing out some of the artists and studio proprietors' motivations for what they do or what inspired them, their inspiration, but you were also reminding them to either update or if they hadn't yet signed up to really include their own information in this wonderful directory that your foundation has. Tell our listeners more about that.
Oh my goodness. Have you ever found yourself considering painting a mural in your backyard or perhaps looking for an artist to create something beautiful in the roundabout in your neighborhood? Well, we have just the resource for you. And I'm talking to us as the general public. We have the Southern Arizona Arts and Culture Directory, which includes artists, makers, galleries, organizations, cultural institutions, designers, all of the arts forms that you can imagine. Artists have the opportunity to upload their profile for free in
Wonderful.
This arts directory. And so the general public can sort what they are looking for on our website and find a list of potential artists that they may want to work with. Do you remember the Yellow Pages?
I do. I am old enough to remember the Yellow
Absolutely.
Pages. Yes, ma'am.
Such a great resource.
And the White Pages.
Exactly. Yes. So this is our version of the Yellow Pages in this digital age. And it's free for artists to upload their profile. And in that profile, you give a little bit of information that relates to the type of work that the artist creates and how to contact, how to get a hold of the artist. In some cases, they'll put price points or just a general overview of the type of a work that they offer.
Fabulous. That is also, and you, Gia, as a communications director, you know, if you can't find each other to communicate with, that's a problem. You can be the best artist in the world. You can have the best cake or the best widget, the best mousetrap ever. But if nobody knows how to find you or knows that that is what your specialty is, then it's kind of like it hasn't even existed. much like in today's day and age, if you didn't take a picture at it or somebody didn't capture a video of it, it didn't happen. So this is a wonderful resource, like you said, not only for the artists themselves or the galleries and such to find each other, but really the general public to find out more about how to get involved, how to find a painter or a drawer or somebody of that nature that they might need. And I love that suggestion that you just gave, or that example. Roundabouts in community are becoming more and more popular here, certainly here in Tucson and in other communities, to help the traffic flow move more smoothly, but also more safely, it seems. Instead of people blowing through stop signs, they really are just forced to kind of calm down and go about. And those, if they didn't have beautiful colorings or maybe other displays of some sort, they would really be pretty dire. So that's what makes up so many of the housing communities and areas around schools. So we're going to talk a little bit more about creativity when we get back from this next commercial break. So stay tuned. Go refill your coffee or your morning beverage, your glass of water or glass of juice. We'll be back with Adriana and Gia shortly. And we are back from our commercial break, being happy with Pharrell Williams, one of my most favorite songs. It really gets me going in the morning. Thank you, Matt Neely. We are, if you are just joining us now, or if you've been on since the top of the hour, we are having a fabulous conversation this morning about art and culture and community and the difference that that makes in uplifting folks, giving them a creative outlet, but also the systems and infrastructure that can go into helping to support the arts community here in Tucson and across Southern Arizona. And we are doing that with Adriana Gallego, CEO, and Gia Del Pino, Communications Director, both from Arts Foundation for Southern Arizona, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Ladies, welcome again back, and I'm so excited to have you on the show. We were speaking right before our last break about resources, and one of those being this wonderful directory of Southern Arizona art. I'm going to say people who are artists, people who run studios, and other folks who help support that, maybe even teachers and instructors that can be at the university and college level, or maybe in elementary schools, and other organizations that swirl around in this ecosystem of arts and culture. What a fabulous offering, because it's free for folks to put their profile in who somehow fall into that. So what that says to me, Gia, I'm going to point at you for a minute for some information. It seems like, again, it doesn't have to only, you don't have to be an artist yourself, although a majority of people in there probably are, but you can be somehow teaching, opening, supporting, doing something in the arts, maybe not donors and such, or maybe so. I mean, what kind of profiles do you have outside of the straightforward artists?
Oh, it runs the gamut. Really, it's anyone who's in the field of creativity, who has a service to offer or a product to offer in terms of painting, visual arts, or even just consultation. Wow. Really, I had someone reach out to me the other day because they want to gift their mother-in-law a photo session for her retirement. And we looked into the arts directory together, and we found a photographer who specializes in taking photos of women 40 and over, which is a very special skill.
Yes, that's a niche for sure. Yeah.
Yes. So it's a really special directory. People, even during open artist studios where I ran into folks during my own tour, and they were looking for artwork to hang in their new house, and they were talking directly with the artist. Can I purchase this photo at this scale, mm-hmm. because my living room is this size? And the artist was very happy to comply.
Wonderful.
So the artist directory is that first interface, but the open studio tours offers that like direct conversation, that direct interaction with the artist itself, which makes it so special.
It really does. We were speaking about that a bit at the beginning of the show, of how powerful those interactions. And now with the inclusion of GPS apps and things that can help people map out, I would say not just on the tour, which I think is is just once a year, or is it twice a year? It's once a year. And even beyond that, though, what's so exciting is people can go back to that list when, if they did participate or if they did not get a chance to, you have that listing of who participated, those over 200 artists and studios that participated just in the Pima County area alone, because I think weren't some of them in Sahuarita? So we were going down that way as well. That people can repeat, they can look that up, they can say, oh yeah, or I didn't get to this one, and find out what's going on with that group. Maybe even be inspired to go back to school themselves, whether that's for a proper degree credit or whether it's auditing a class and just getting involved. I think for our youngest of the young, our little toddlers all the way to seniors, can really enjoy. Having said that, one of the things that I want to make sure our listeners and viewers know is how to find you. So let's tell folks your website, because it's a little bit different. I used to get it wrong by completing a full word that's not quite in the website. So I'll let you guys tell what it is.
It's artsfoundtucson.org. And the way I explain it is that as if the arts was walking around and found Tucson.
Yes, that's exactly how I heard it. Arts, plural, found Tucson, spelled out, .org. And I think the arts absolutely, or I'm going to say the arts didn't found Tucson, but really Tucson and Southern Arizona are so full of history and, in, you know, the indigenous traditions and cultures. We are binational, well, multinational really, but so close to our southern border with Mexico, and those cultural impacts are strong all over our state, but particularly here in Southern Arizona. And anything that brings that culture to life seems to be very exciting and very colorful for our community. But it also plays an important role in giving vision or voice to issues that come up in our community. They may be policy issues, they might be process or history, historical type of issues, or relevant right now of the day issues. And in our second hour today, I'm going to have guests who are coming on to, they are involved in the campaign. They are part of a community group that are involved in the campaign to rename one of our local parks. This initiative, it turns out, you all are very engaged with as well and have participated in creating and supporting, I think, the artwork. Tell us a little bit more. We're speaking specifically about renaming Murrieta Park to Salomón Valdenegro Park here in the west side of Tucson. Tell me how you all got involved in that and the role you play.
Oh, thank you for that question. So one of the many services and resources that the Arts Foundation provides is that we manage the selection process for public art for the city of Tucson. Mm-hmm. So what that means is that whenever there's funding to initiate an artwork in any city property, they call on us to administer the selection process. And that includes identifying panelists that represent the community and the ward where the actual artwork is taking place, and connecting them with an artist that they then select based on open call for artists. And we explicitly run something called a request for qualifications to help the community identify and interview the best artist that connects with the vision that they have for the specific opportunity. So in the case of Joaquin Murrieta Park, this was one of the projects that's housed under what we call Arts in the Park. And so this is one of many different projects that is receiving funding to build out some sort of artwork in a park.
Okay.
And the committee that selected the artists selected several artists to participate and to co-create artwork in the park. And that was Iro Tashima and West Style design muralist Carlos Ballesteros, Alfonso Chavez, and Jacob Robles. And as a matter of fact, they're going to unveil all the artwork on December 6th, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Joaquin Murrieta Park at 1400 North Silver Bell Road. So you yourself can see the end product of what it means to have community members connect with government and connect with artists. And you'll see how it beautifies our park.
Wonderful. That's so exciting. I am peeking out for folks that might be watching me. My eye is going over a little bit to the left to the lobby of our studio because we have some of the folks that are, like I said, very involved in that. Jeans Ramirez, I believe, has arrived. And we're also going to have Frank Sotomayor and Victor Rivera joining us this morning to talk a little bit more about the official side of the campaign, what started it, how it's going, how people can get involved. But it sounds like December 6th is something we want to remind everybody to please go out to the park and see this artwork that went through a whole process, like you said, of an RFQ, request for qualifications, then request for, I'm going to say, proposals a sharing of a proposal idea for art. And then there's a selection committee that looks at all of this and selects. So lots of integration into the municipal realm as well. And
if I may, yes, I did want to add one more thing, is that what makes this particular Art in the Park project extra special is that Salomon Valdenegro actually contributed some of his writing on the history of the park and its development to become part of the archive and the storytelling that we do in connection with the artwork that is displayed at the park.
Fabulous. So Tucson Art in the Park is an effort, and so not only is this coming up in December, but is that something that happens a few times around the year in other seasons?
Yes, it is. It is definitely part of the public artwork projects that the Arts Foundation administers. So there may be public art opportunities coming up to develop or include artwork in housing, or to include artwork in
like streets or murals or things like that.
Exactly.
Oh, mm-hmm. How wonderful. It's good to know, because I think sometimes people get a little confused of how all that works. There's a lot that happens there behind the scenes. And again, Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona not only is heavily engaged and involved in that and a lead on that, but also can help inform the community how they can get involved in that. We are coming up to our next commercial break, so hold with us just a moment. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice, and we'll be back shortly, going out to the tune of, I think we've got Brothers Johnson, Strawberry Letter. And we're back for our last portion of our first hour on Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and in studio this first hour, we have had Gia Del Pino and Adriana Gallego of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona. We've shared lots of information, arts in the park. We've talked about the open studio tours, the free directory that is available for artists and studio owners and art teachers and other kinds of folks to sign up for, and the fact that you can find out so much information on the website, which is artsfoundtucson.org. And what I'd like to get to really quickly is another really exciting fact that folks may or may not be aware of, and that is that your foundation, ladies, gives out grants on a regular basis. There are certain time frames, but your funding for the arts is a very big part of your commitment to advancing artists' lives and supporting both emerging and established arts organizations. So there are different ways that individual artists or organizations can get involved in this. I think you have an open open grant going on right now, coming up due in January. Is that correct?
Correct. That grant is for organizations,
okay,
who are looking for some support for operations. And we just opened that one. So that's an exciting opportunity for any organization.
Sure. And so an organization might be a nonprofit or even a for-profit, or must they be a nonprofit?
Nonprofit, or they can be fiscally sponsored.
Okay, wonderful. And people can find out, I know, by going to your website. Again, artsfoundtucson.org/grants, and that's grants plural. You can find out more information of where to apply and how to apply and what the eligibility is.
Yes.
And you have a few weeks. Anyone out there interested in looking at that, I think the due date isn't until early January, so that's fabulous.
And Lydia, we have a couple of more if I can list off.
Yes, please do.
We have an exciting Tucson Poet Laureate. This is we've already had one Tucson Poet Laureate, mm-hmm. and they've completed a 3-year
term,
and now we're opening it up for a new one. So any poets out there that are interested in applying, please go find us on our website. We also just opened up last week 4 different requests for qualification opportunities.
Great.
And that's to support public art in affordable housing.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes.
I think that is a great connection. We often talk about the issues in home and housing stability and creating, really helping to build more of an ecosystem. And certainly arts and culture are a part of that, the expression, the support, and also being able to decorate, if you will, having beautiful spaces to live.
Absolutely.
Is important at every level and in every neighborhood. So thank you for doing that. I know that we just have a couple minutes here. Adriana, thank you so much. And Gia, thank you so much for being here. Are there any final announcements or shout outs that you would like to give?
Certainly. Please keep an eye out for an exciting artist grant opportunity coming up. It'll be open December 11th, and it'll be open a little longer because we want artists to find a client to work with.
Ooh.
It doesn't have to be a nonprofit. It can be a business, it can be a government agency, or it can be another artist that
okay.
they're imparting skills. And those grants will be up to $10,000 for an artist to work with somebody else as their client in the development of a project.
What exciting news is that? I really love the collaboration, and that's what you're helping stimulate by being able to put those funds that many, whether you are government, small business, or private business, or a nonprofit, often operating budget doesn't often include the artistic side. So that sounds like a really exciting. Okay, so we've got people go to sign up to find out more and get your directory listing or directory profile in. Show up to Murrieta Park on December 6th and see some of the arts in the park in work and learn more about the history of the campaign. And by the way, stick around for our second hour because we're going to be going in depth about that campaign and that issue. Make sure to see if you are an organization. Grants are available now. The applications are available now, between now and early January, and then a new collaborative grant opportunity. Adriana and Gia, thank you so much for taking the time on an early and kind of brisk cold morning to come into studio and join us on Rainmakers. In my opinion, you are making it rain so much for the community all around Southern Arizona, and I thank you warmly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Matt? How do you think we're doing? I think we're getting ready to go into our next hour.
We're doing great for a Monday. I mean, we hit the bricks running, and the show's only getting started, isn't it?
It sure is. Well, again, folks, find out more at artsfoundtucson.org, and stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice, and we're going to be up next with talking about the renaming of Murrieta Park. Stay tuned. And we're back. This is Monday, November 24th. I'm Lydia Aranda, your host of Rainmakers, which is our Monday segment of The Morning Voice here at KVOI. We had a fabulous first hour, very exciting, very uplifting, with the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona. Matt, wasn't that a really great and insightful conversation?
Indeed. I may apply for the Tucson Poet Laureate job.
There you go. Wonderful.
How long's that term, anyway? Are there term limits?
I think
How much does it pay? That's what I'm
We need to know details. What I did catch is it's a 3-year commitment, a 3-year honor. And so those applications, those requests for qualifications are happening now at artsfoundtucson.org, as well as grant applications for organizations, nonprofits that are in the arts or are supporting the arts. And then another grant is going to open up for artists to collaborate with either nonprofit or for-profit, nonprofit or government agency, public agencies, to find some good opportunities for art and housing. So that'll be exciting.
Absolutely.
And with that, one of the really great things, Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona is very much involved in our city of Tucson Arts in the Park initiatives, and they are the organization that help run a lot of that. And upcoming on December 6th is going to be a display and dedication over at Joaquin Murrieta Park with a lot of art on display related to an initiative that not only is about the park itself, but about the renaming project and the initiative going on right now. And with us in studio this morning, we have Jean Rivera. Jean Ramirez and Victor Rivera. I was looking at them both, and no, they are not a couple, but they are definitely co-leads in this campaign effort to rename the park, along with some other community activists and community members who have been working on this for quite a while. Jean and Victor, welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, and so nice to have you both on. Jean, maybe I'll kick it off with you to maybe tell us a little bit more about the renaming initiative, the campaign that's going on, which has been lasting, I think, well, it's been in the mind of people for quite a long time, but formally has been lasting this whole year of 2025, even started last year, I believe. Is that correct?
I think so. And it all kind of started with having a look at the history of the West Side and the Chicano movement and what it gave to the community. And a lot of times we don't remember the great, you know, help and the positive gifts that a lot of people have given us. And it is really important that we remember that, and that our children realize that a lot of the things that they take for granted, we had to fight really hard for. And one of them is the park, because before that, the Barrio children played in the dusty street. They had no place to play ball, to ride their bikes, to fly their kites. And it was just out in the streets, and no designated place, and there was no hurry by the city to do anything about it. And so people in the community were the ones that had to organize and fight for it. And I am so, so, so proud of them. And so my husband and I were having coffee, and we were talking about, you know, the Chicano movement on the West Side, and the legacy that, as we are aging, we leave to our young kids and our communities. And so we thought about Joaquin Murrieta and how it started, and we thought, you know, we need to remember the role that Sal played in it, because without him, who knows what would have happened. And not just him, there were other community members that played a great role, but he definitely was a leader and a guide, and the activists continued and got people involved. So, and those are hard things to do. If you realize that in those times,
which were the 70s, adults, right?
The adults in the community were quite conservative. Those were people that were a little bit strict in their upbringing, and of course they passed that on. And a lot of times, you know, it was hard for anything to change because people were afraid But thanks to people like Sal, these young thinkers, these young movers with a corazón for their people to better their lives and better the lives of the children, that they had the vision and what it took, the stamina and the hard work for this to get done. We can't forget. We cannot forget. We must remember that these things that we have, we fought for them. They weren't given them to us, even though we all paid taxes. Every single of these people in the West Side were paying their taxes with nothing to gain until people like Sal, these young group of people that were thinking differently. And let me tell you, it wasn't well accepted by the elders. He had a lot of pushback. Mm-hmm. And yet, he survived. And yet, he accomplished. So, you know, Raul and I, my husband, talked about it, and we went to Ward 1 council person, Lane Santa Cruz, and we asked her about what were the steps to get this park renamed. And so we went back home and thought about it, and we realized that's going to be a lot of work, and we have to raise money. Mm-hmm. And we've never raised money in our lives before. And how would we go about it? And did we have the stamina? And what would be the politics of it?
Sure.
All these things are intertwined.
Community politics, economic politics, the fundraising, like you said, and also the history. And I have to say, I want to share with our viewers and our listeners that you are a retired teacher.
Yes.
And so, and I am the daughter of teachers and professors myself, and I recognize your attention to making sure that folks know the story and the history, not only the storyline, but the history of the why and the where and the how. And we are talking about a park that was fought for by community leaders, not only Sal Baldenegro himself and many others, but the late great Congressman Raul Grijalva.
Yes, yes.
Back in the late 60s when there were the high school walkouts and all kind of other civil liberties being spoken of, fought for, stood up and taught. And this was one of those, like you said, to get a safe place for children to play in. But then after that comes dedications and namings. So following the process of that with our city of Tucson and our current leaders, one of the reasons I understand is having first established the park itself, but then it was kind of a park without a name. I mean, it was sort of Northwest Park, you know, that's not really a dedication. So then it was named after a time, Joaquin Murrieta. But that was really about history, long time ago history, actually coming out of California and some movements and some historicals. Renaming this now to Baldenegro, to Salomón R. Baldenegro, would be the full name, is about someone who is from this community, from that neighborhood, who was engaged in creating the park himself and is still with us. He has not passed. And so there's a little bit more recent history and living history happening right here. So it does put a different kind of experience on why and how the campaign would take place.
Well,
and Victor, just to let you know, we have about a minute before our first commercial break, but well, please give us a hooker.
It was Salomón that suggested the name Joaquin Murrieta.
Okay.
To the city council.
I did not know that. Yeah, yes.
It was him that named it.
Wonderful. Well, we also have a caller on the line. Let's give him a quick opportunity, because I'd love to hear from Sixto Molina, who's actually one of our friends and co-hosts. He is often a co-host on our Friday Morning Voice show. Sixto, buenos dias. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, gente. How are you?
Wonderful to hear your voice this morning.
So I'll make it brief as possible, although you can't when you're talking about Salomón Baldenegro.
So many good things to speak about with Mr. Baldenegro, for sure.
Everything you heard about him and working toward the park is true. But what little is known about that is, along with that, he changed how the police department policed the West Side back in the 70s. It started in the 70s. In fact, he and another lady by the name of Margot Cowan said that the policing wasn't being done properly, because back in the 70s, the West Side, especially the Hollywood area, was a haven for drugs. People from all over the city would come to the West Side to buy heroin. And that was in Salomon, where he grew up. He grew up all around that, but he stayed away from drugs.
Yes. He grew up in Barrio Hollywood, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the police department eventually did a study and realized, yes, what he's saying is true. The people of the West Side are not receiving the police service that the rest of the city is receiving. Consequently, they formed, the police department formed a special policing unit on the West Side called the Adam One Team. I was part of that in 1972 when it started. Mm-hmm. Actually, it started in 73. And that changed the way policing was done on the West Side. The drug houses were starting to then be closed down. And in fact, the Adam One Team, we sponsored a Little League baseball team and played out of Joaquin Murrieta Park. And all the coaches on that, the Adam One Team, were all cops. And that was by design. And one of our players, players who was a pitcher, was not very well known at the time. His name is Sean Elliott, who became an NBA and U of A basketball star.
That's right.
So a lot of good things happened. But anyway, I just wanted to include that the fact that he changed the way policing was done on the West Side, but people aren't aware of that. But those of us that did work with the police department were very aware of that. And Margot Cowan, Salomon Valdenegro were very cordial, but very firm. This is, you know, this is not acceptable, folks. You know, drug dealing is not acceptable. Not having facilities for youth to
play safely,
for youth to play mm-hmm. to play safely in is not acceptable. And he changed all of that. He did a lot of good things. So I think renaming the park is something that's very admirable. And I congratulate the people that led the effort.
Wonderful. Sixto Molina, thank you so much for calling in. We are going to go to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I know that Victor Rivera has something to add to all the history that you just shared with us. So please, listeners and watchers, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here on Rainmakers, The Morning Voice. And we're coming back in on Rainmakers this Monday morning, November 24th. We are in our second hour, and we are speaking with three community leaders, community activists, and folks who are involved in the effort to rename Joaquin Murrieta Park now to Salomon R. Valdenegro Park on the west side of Tucson. And in our first segment, we had Jean Ramirez, who is a retired teacher, and she and her husband, Raul, have been part of a community group and she was giving us the history of what had happened initially with not even having a park several decades ago, and what was first called Northwest Park, then became Joaquin Murrieta Park, and the involvement. We were joined also with Victor Rivera, and not only Victor, but a call-in. We had Sixto Molina, who happens to be a co-host of The Morning Voice on Friday mornings. They were both sharing some perspective about what was happening and how even Salomon was able to engage the Tucson police, well, through a lot of activities, which our next guest is going to tell us a little bit more about. But they were able to talk about how eventually the Tucson Police Department became involved, created Adam One, and really helped to establish a much more foundation about the safety and properly gathering in a formal place like a park, so that families could celebrate, kids could play, programs could happen, and the neighborhoods could be in a better space than just having open open areas that were being highlighted with drug sales and some other things that were very, very dangerous. Victor, I think you had a comment after listening to what Sixto Molina was sharing.
Yeah, if Sixto is still listening, I don't know if you remember me, but in 1972, I was taking a cultural anthropology class at the University of Arizona, and you and Margo came in and spoke about the Adam One program and how it came about. And after the presentation, we had two professors teaching the course. They told me to go to their office, and they tried to recruit me as a cultural to get my degree in anthropology and for, you know, up to a PhD. Because of you and Margo and the presentation that you made, I got an A in that class. And now it's been over 50 years, and I'd just like to thank you. I saw Margo about 5 years ago and thanked her, but again, Sixto, I just want to thank you for doing this great presentation in that class.
Well, thank you, Victor, for sharing that. And I think one of the things that this displays is how much community is still in contact with each other and still working on issues that started all those decades ago and actually have a new framework, but still are very relevant today. And along those lines, I am going to welcome, we also have another guest in the studio who is part of this movement, and it's Mr. Frank Sotomayor, who is a veteran, certainly an ongoing and very accomplished journalist and one of our most experienced voices formerly in journalism, having been 35 years as an editor of the Los Angeles Times, and continues to be an author and journalist today, even in his retirement, and very active not only in this issue but so many others. Frank, welcome so much to being part of the Rainmakers show and discussion on this issue today, and I'm really excited not only to have you and your renowned reputation here, but you can also give some more color about what the role that you and the others here and many others in community in your ad hoc committee that began, I think, over a year ago to really start this process. Tell us what we need to know.
Thank you very much, Lydia. It's great to be here. I'm sorry that I'm late.
No worries.
Never trust the maps on the computer. Do what Victor did. Do a dry run. So I learned that lesson. And trust your wife. She told me the route. And I said, no, Google Maps is this one. Okay, well, I knew Solomon Baldenegro as kids, you know, playing baseball at Bonzo, now, you know, school. Mm-hmm. And so I followed him through the years. I had just come back from the Army when the demonstrations were going on at Del Rio Golf Course. So I joined in. And then I went back to Los Angeles to work. But I knew about the conditions firsthand because I grew up in Barrio Hollywood, and I knew that we were very much underserved in that community, and we desperately needed a park. So Raul called me, Raul Ramirez, Gene's husband, called me, I think it was about April. It seems like a year, but it was actually April.
Okay.
And says, you know, we'd like you to be on the committee. Would you join us? I said, well, yes, of course. No fundraising, no. It's not my strength. And he said, no, we just want your name, you know, just to be. I thought, yeah, it's going to be on the letterhead. That'll be fine. So I've been very active, very happily active in this effort since then. And it has been quite a bit of work. And so Raul and Gene were the beginning people on it. And I want to stress this is very much a community effort.
Yes.
Very much a community effort. It's non-political. It's non-partisan. We just want to honor Sal. We want to honor local history. And we think that the Murrieta Park served its purpose. And I think it's now, we have a new renovated park. I think it's time for a new name.
For a new renovated name.
The city did a great renovation of the park. Mm-hmm. It still needs a swimming pool, but other than that, it's wonderful. So, Solomon Baldenegro Park would be very appropriate.
Thank you. We were speaking in the first segment, you probably heard on your way in, that there are so many positives about the renaming, and in no way is it about anything negative, just that, as you said, there have been some renovations, there's a lot more going on, and the community at large really would like to honor one of the main characters who helped create the park to begin with, and do it while he's still alive, while he is still contributing to community, and make it kind of a piece of living history as well. And we are going to speak more. Believe it or not, we're actually up to another commercial break here. So when we come back, I want to hear more. I know that Jean has something to offer on the next steps. And even though we've been talking about no fundraising, there actually is a fundraising event coming up with a golf tournament. We'll talk more about that when we get back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice. Now we're back after a brief commercial break. You're listening on this Monday, November 24th, to Rainmakers, which is the Monday segment of The Morning Voice here at KVOI The Voice. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and we indeed are having a lovely day, as that song said by Bill Withers. Thank you, Matt, for bringing in the lovely music. In studio with me this morning is Jean Ramirez, Victor Rivera, and Frank Sotomayor, all of who are part of an ad hoc committee and leading the charge, together with several other community members, over on the west side of town to rename Joaquin Murrieta Park to Salomón R. Valdenegro Park. And there are a lot of great reasons for that. There is definitely a lot of history. Salomón is still here in the Tucson area with us, and this effort is all about putting extra attention to history and accomplishment in all the right places. Frank Sotomayor, please tell us a little bit more.
Thank you, Lydia. Well, the process the guidelines are set by the city of Tucson for any naming or renaming. Mm-hmm. And we've been working with the city Parks and Recreation Department on this effort. The first part was getting signatures to show community support. So we've gained about 750 signatures so far, some of them online, most of them in person.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to raise $10,000.
That is no easy thing to do just on a whim.
Exactly, with our community. So we started person to person, and we got some very good results from people.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a grand fiesta in a casino ballroom, and we raised almost $3,000 from that. So we reached our goal in August, and in September, the city started a 45-day public comment period, and we don't know the results of that yet. And then the city commission on Parks and Recreation started its meetings, and at the next meeting, they will be revealing the results of a public comment. We're sure that there were very many positive comments. I understand there were hundreds of replies, because it is a subject of great interest, and
sure,
CEL is very well known in Tucson.
Sure.
And then after that, the city commission will vote, we hope, to send it to the city council, and the city council and mayor will consider it, and we hope will approve it.
Well, that is quite an in-depth process. I really appreciate you taking us through that to really show and tell our listeners, many of whom might not be familiar with really what happens in these kind of municipal processes to officially rename a park or officially dedicate a park. So much happens in this particular park, and it has been such a hub of much activity since its founding, which, of course, was first named kind of just a I'm going to say just a kind of straightforward, detailed name, Northwest Park, opened in 1973. But then it changed to Joaquin Murrieta Park. And during the time between then and now, in this new renaming, the community has really come together under Sal and other people's leadership and activism by you all and many, many others. Over on it's on Speedway, close to Silver Bell. And one of the really fabulous deliverables that has come out over the years is the El Rio Community Center that's over there. I know that Jean and I were speaking about that during the break, about the importance and the impact that that community center has had, not only on that neighborhood, but really citywide, because other El Rio community centers have cropped up, and health centers and other kinds of things. But that particular community center now has so much art right on it, and is offers classes and other experiences and trainings in art, in after school classes, in sports and other physical activities for seniors, for youth. So much goes on there that it really is a mainstay of the community. Jean, what did I leave out?
The daycare center, and also the GED. People have gotten their GED.
Very important, and connects into other educational opportunities there as well.
I took my grandboys to that little library there at the center, and it opened up people walking to the library to get books instead of going downtown.
Wonderful to have that so close to home.
And people don't realize what an impact that, you know, that is for young kids and their mm-hmm. and the mothers that go and take their kids to get books just during the day, and otherwise they might not be able to, because how many people can go all the way downtown? So in so many ways, those beginning efforts have really positively impacted so many people's lives.
That's wonderful. And you you all have mentioned the fact that you were behind this issue. You were less excited about, you were absolutely happy to go after and get signatures and inform people and really tell the story of the how, the why, and where it's headed. And the less exciting part for you all was the fundraising. And yet you were able to pull together the required $10,000. That is very significant to be able to do this. And Victor, I think that you were mentioning there are other histories. I mean, you already talked about what Sixto also commented, that there was an issue about safety, about community safety, that the park itself and the community center continue to offer out to community, young, old, and everybody in between.
Well, the Adam One program, all the things that Sixto mentioned about, mm-hmm. really came to fruit because there was a dance there at El Rio Center, and the police department overreacted. They sent in the SWAT teams, helicopters.
Oh, my goodness.
And they had the dog teams, and it was a riot. It was a lot of people have written about that, mm-hmm. that what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the city council came together with the West Side residents, spearheaded by Salomon and some other leaders, and they came up with the Adam One program, and they were hoping to get Spanish-speaking police officers, maybe police officers from the community,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't wearing.
Like Sixto.
They weren't wearing the uniforms of the policemen. They used to have these gold blazers, and they would try to make contact with the community leaders and talk to them and find out, what are your issues? What do you want from the police department?
So be listening as
well as
saying.
The first time they were asking Chicanos and Chicanas, what do they want from the police department?
How can we work together in community? That's so important even today. Frank, so with the process that you walked us through and where it is right now, it seems to me that some important next steps are going to be continuing to raise attention and money, wait for the city of Tucson to deliver its feedback, but in that time. Are there other activities that are going to be planned? I think I've heard about a golf tournament coming up.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a great golf tournament. You know, we're going to have, of course, everybody's going to have a wonderful Christmas and holidays. And on the 27th of December, we promise a perfect 70 degrees day for a golf tournament. So what better to do than a golf tournament, right?
Exactly. Because even if you don't golf, you can come out and understand, maybe learn a little bit more. And for those who, I think community golf tournaments, they're a bit of a, what do they call it, a scramble, so that you don't have to be wonderful at golf so long as you're maybe perhaps paired up with some others who know what you're doing. You can actually take the time to improve your own golf skills while maybe others are a little bit ahead in that experience. And it's all about raising money, raising awareness, and also prior to that. So that'll be a fun activity in between Christmas and New Year's. December 27th offers that in between time when people might have some time to do that.
We're also going to have a wonderful lunch.
Yes.
Perhaps some music, maybe some mariachis, we'll see.
So people can buy tickets for that or find out how to get involved
Each player is $120.
Okay.
And you could look at Raul Ramirez's Facebook page or my Facebook page, and we'll have all the information who you can call.
Wonderful.
And we ask all golfers and even non-golfers that want to try it out to come out and register. And we also we're looking to raise this money to dedicate the park. We're assuming that this will be approved, being a community issue, a non-political, non-partisan issue. It'll be approved. So we're raising money to have a grand fiesta out there with the dedication of a new name.
That's wonderful. And if people want to get involved, they can learn more on Raul Ramirez's Facebook, on Frank O. Sotomayor's Facebook page. But also, if you want to donate, I believe there's a Zelle number to donate, which is 520-240-9138. And people can donate right on Zelle, which is very popular with folks today.
That's a good number for registration.
And that's a number for registration as well, because people can call or text to that number, correct?
Yes. Also, we are looking for sponsors. People want to have her name out there on the golf course. We're looking for sponsors. Again, it'll help us with the money we're trying to raise.
Wonderful. And in addition to that, on December 6th, we had the Arts Foundation of Tucson and Southern Arizona tell us that they'll be doing a dedication of art at the park for the art that has been involved in this initiative. So that's an exciting thing. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, we are at our next commercial break. Mm-hmm. So stay with us just a little bit longer. You're listening to Rainmakers here on The Morning Voice, and we're going to have a little double Dutch bus take us out to commercial break. Stay tuned. And coming back in with the sounds of Earth, Wind, and Fire, Little Boogie Wonderland on a Monday morning. We are here Monday, November 24th. You have been listening to Rainmakers, which is our Monday segment of The Morning Voice, positive talk radio on weekday mornings. And it has been just a great morning speaking about art and culture and history, all intertwined into one. And right before the break, we were hearing about some of the latest ways to get involved and continue to show support to the effort to rename Murrieta Park to Baldenegro Park. With that, I am going to ask one of our guests, Victor Rivera, to read some excerpts of one of the letters of support that sums up this initiative and why we are all excited about this campaign. Victor, please go ahead.
Okay. As an unsung hero not looking for accolades, Mr. Baldenegro was humbled when approached about the name change. Like so many other men and women and sons and daughters of immigrant families, his values and stellar professional career speak for themselves. Notwithstanding, Mr. Baldenegro's strength of humility, sense of duty and justice, and servant leadership style. The requested name change goes beyond Mr. Baldenegro. It encompasses legacy, public education, civic engagement, and community commitment. To honor one of our own elders and a fellow Tucsonense in this manner sheds light on the undeniable importance of historical accuracy, place, and identity. On another significant and intangible level, such an honor, if enacted, will support and illuminate immense respect and pride and love.
And that letter was written by?
William David Prescada. He's a good friend of mine, and he's Lydia's uncle.
He sure is. I'm very proud of that.
Wonderful.
He is native-born Tucsonan and grew up very near where all of these activities that we're referring to take place. Jean Ramirez, retired teacher. Victor Rivera, who is always active in so much. And Frank Sotomayor, journalist and author and writer. All of you are three of the leaders in this wonderful ad hoc community group that have come together for the renaming project. Again, as it's been stated, we need, all of us need to have safe places for our children and families to gather. This park has a history of going from nothing into something that is an example and a model of what community parks and community neighborhood centers can be, the El Rio Neighborhood Center being the one we're speaking of as well. There is a fundraiser coming up. There are lots of ways to get involved, and there's also a golf tournament coming up. We're asking you, the public, to get involved if you would like to learn more. 520-240-9138 is one of the numbers where you can donate through Zelle or find out more information. December 27th, there's going to be a golf tournament. If you want to find out more information, also at Ward 1, Councilwoman's City, Lane Santa Cruz from that ward can tell you more. And with that, I really want to thank quickly Frank Sotomayor, Victor Rivera, and Jean Ramirez. Frank, why don't you take us out with the last few seconds about what this all means and why we can get involved?
Well, when the park was finally opened, the Westside community felt a sense of relief they were finally listened to. So join us at the golf tournament at El Rio Golf Course on December 27th. If you're not a golfer and want to join us for lunch, let us know and we'll set up a plate for you. Thank you very much, Lydia.
Thank you, Frank, for all that you're doing. Victor, again, thank you for
well, thank you, Lydia, for having us on.
And for reading that wonderful excerpt from my Uncle David, as I call him. And I'll tell all of you, my nickname from him is Petey, which stands for Petey Wheelas, cartwheels in English, because that's what I used to do, play and jump around a lot with him. So thanks to him. And Jean, such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you to you and your husband, Raul, and for all the other members of the committee. It's been another wonderful morning. Matt Neely, thanks for all you do to keep us up with the right kind of beat, the right kind of rhythms. And for all of our listeners and viewers, please enjoy a safe and happy week of gratitude in the season of gratitude and Thanksgiving that comes with this week's holidays. Take care, listen well, stay in touch, be involved.